Like I said, we had an encounter with God this morning. It's always good to worship God, you know. And I oftentimes hesitate until about sometimes the first time. Sometimes it takes two times. Sometimes it takes three times of the Lord to say, "It's time now. It's time now." Because I don't like to move out of that. But we aren't going to move out of that. We're going to move into that. Okay. And I think that Vicky's testimony and what Fred has to say go very well. Freedom comes with knowing. There are things that we know that we don't know that we know. Now, like Vicky, you share that scripture. We've been doing that for 30 years. But all of a sudden, it came more to life to you. Sometime over the last 32 years, you've actually tuned into that scripture before. But it became more important there, and all of a sudden you found out it was there, because if it wasn't there, it couldn't pop up. In other words, and it comes that time where we decide we're going to actually enact that scripture, because until we need that scripture, we don't know that we need that scripture. But then once we realize we need it, then there it is, and it's been there all the time, but now it pops up. It comes to life. But we've had that then, as we take what Fred said, that thing that we feed, that spiritual thing, that thing that is in us that is incorruptible, when we tune into that incorruptible, that's it. In other words, Jesus isn't stretching it when he says you have the victory. You have been made more than conquerors. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. But it's the freedom comes with knowing. Not knowing about, but from knowing. And when the Word of God comes to life, and all of a sudden the reason that we know it best is because we need it, because maybe we didn't need it before, or we didn't need it enough before. But now here's the thing. Once those things take their place, remember, Israel was always building a monument to remind them of that. What the enemy tries to do is get us to forget our victories, to forget the great things that God has done, to forget our triumph, so that all of a sudden, when here comes, like Vicky, you said that those things popped up, well, they couldn't get to you. They couldn't get to you. Now, that's a spiritual picture for you to take into your physical life. And when something tries to pop up, it can't get to you. See, these are the things we need to understand, that the Word of God, hearing and hearing the Word of God, and hearing it some more, and hearing it some more, hearing it in our spirit, studying it ourselves, getting it into us, letting it build up, let it be built up and built up and built up and built up, building yourself up, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, you see, so many times, last time when we talked about crossing lines, there are those lines that people just won't cross. One of those lines that many people are weak and perish is because they won't cross the line to pray in tongues. Because the enemy says, oh, what good will it do? But if Jesus said, if the Holy Spirit said through Paul, if the Holy Spirit pointed out in His Word that it would empower us, man, jump across that line. Vicky, you said you'd drawn lines, you know? Well, right here, if we have the thing that's keeping us from God, and we have a line that we won't cross to get to that thing from God, that line becomes the wrong kind of a monument. If I allow my fear to be greater than my faith, then I'm going to stand in fear. I had four different wonderful testimonies from folks at the jail of a couple of letters of people just testifying that the Lord had just set them free into a new place. A couple where I was meeting with people. I had one guy that sat down with me, and we had prayed for him to have favor in his sentencing. And he shared with me that he just plain got favor. And then he said, I was expecting the worst. I said, what did you say? He said, I was expecting the worst. I said, what do we, how, you have been here how long? How many times have you heard me say, get rid of that jail mentality that says, you know, hope for the best, but expect the worst? He said, I know. But even though, look at this picture, even though you were not faithful, even though you were expecting the worst, God overrode that. And now he says, this is how you should think and live. Yeah. He was smiling. I mean, he was, yeah, I know. I think that he knew when he said he was expecting the worst that was a dangerous thing to say with a person sitting across the table from him. But he also knew that I was going to explain to him that what he got was what God wanted him to have, not what he was expecting. Had another person testify that the judge said 25 years. He said, man, my heart sunk. I thought I was going to get sick. I started to cry, you know. But he said, something took over, and I just, he said, it was God. I felt like I'd be okay. And from that judge's 25 years, the judge suspended 15 years down to 10 years. And then forgave 5 years. Added 4 years probation, time served. Basically, he'll be out in about 12 months. 25 years to 12 months. Popping up. I love that, what the Lord said, popping up. Expect things to pop up. Smartest thing we can do is receive it. He said, I received that. When we receive a little, God gives us more. Do we have the confidence, the faith? Do we have the hope to now begin to expect things to pop up? Begin to declare that they're popping up. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. We need to rejoice in the Lord. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation. Man, start praising. Start shouting. Start jumping. Start doing something because I've overcome it already. When you know that, then that's the first thing you'll do. Now, if it takes a little minute to get a skip in your step, that's okay. But we ask the Lord today to give us an awareness so that we would overcome those doubts and overcome those fears and begin to enter in. There is no God like you. There is no God like you. There is no God like you. You are so wonderful. You are so wonderful. You are. Have I told you lately that I love you? Yes, I'm enthusiastic about this. I'm pretty enthusiastic about anything that has to do with God, and I ask God to forgive me when I get enthusiastic about anything else. Yeah. We all have those stupid circles, you know? Those little stupid circles that we just sit in the stupid circle. And until we step out of that circle, we just keep turning in stupid circles. You know, I am really, you know, disappointed that God, over such a little thing, is forcing me to do something. You see, I like to drink out of the milk jug because it's handy. All I have to do is open the refrigerator. I don't drink that much milk. I just like to. You know, I got a cookie, I want to take a drink of milk. And I do, and every time I do, you know, last night I was taking a drink of milk, and I don't really try to hide it from Vicky, but last night I heard her walk in the back door, and I thought, okay, fine. Drinking out of the jug again, huh, Roger? Yeah, I can if I want. I'll probably do it again, even though you know I don't like it. I said, well, you do things I don't like too. I'm not sure if I said it loud enough for her to hear that. But. She does. She does things I don't like. I just don't tell her about everything I don't like. It's true. I don't. I just walk off, you know? So, for some odd reason, this morning I'm getting ready for church. And God brings up this milk jug thing. Now, what does he care about the milk jug? But how come what I like doesn't matter? So anyway, have your stinking milk jug. And I say that joyously. Maybe, I know. Now I can't do that either. I was just thinking I could get my own jug and write my name on it, and then I could drink out of that jug. Yeah, nah, can't. That's just not part of the deal. Freedom comes with knowing. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you see, it's there. The freedom is there. The qualifications are nothing. If you abide in me, well, as a Christian, isn't that what we want? We want to abide in him. And if your word, if my word abides in you, well, you know, I mean, I one word from God is like 47 chapters. But we need to be willing to read 47 chapters to get one word. God's faithful even when we're not. But we see these things, and so let's say that we have a problem. Okay, Vicki, even though she said she doesn't read her Bible at night, well, I'm going to read my Bible. Maybe it'll help me sleep. But then, there it is. It says, okay, it's been here all the time. You've read it 50 times. You've probably prayed it in the night. But all of a sudden, I need this. I need this badly. I want this badly. I want this really badly. So I'm declaring it's mine. And because you declare it's yours, when the little whoopie-doopies pop up, the Lord says, my word's better than the whoopie-doopies. You know? And so now you know that like you never knew it before. Because you needed it like you never needed it before. That's generally when we come to really know the truth that makes us free, is when we need it like we never needed it before. So what happens if we always devour it like we need it like we never needed it before? How many people are born again but don't understand the truth of being born again? Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. They're behind. Let them go. Now, some people try to take that to the thing of, yeah, my old debts are gone. I don't have to pay my bills. No. That's not it. What was it? Years ago, they had that thing when Jesus was coming, and there were people rolling up credit card bills because they were going to be gone anyway. And I heard somebody say, don't plan on leaving when you got a whole bunch of credit card bills, because God ain't going to let you out of your debt. You know? That doesn't mean you might not die with a total on your credit card, but you better not be running it up with the intention of sneaking out. But old things passed away. Born again, old things passed away. Fears are gone. Sins are gone. All that. And then a new life has begun. This is just a beginning. This is just a start. You know, this is just like when Vicki and I went on a motorcycle trip and we pulled out of Highmore. It was just a start. But we get going down the road and we're, woohoo! Only I'm not supposed to do it with both hands, but she can. You know? And because she's riding with me, and sometimes, well, anyway, He didn't say I couldn't do that anymore, so I can still throw my hands up when you're not with me. But when we leave town, you know, always when we get headed west, east, north, or south, whatever it is, you know, there's always just that, I pat her on the leg, I feel the leather, here we go. Yeah, I get to go up with one hand. She'll say, woohoo, we'll say a prayer, we'll be gone, but it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's more to come. Greater things are yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in your life in Christ Jesus. Greater promises. You know, some people they experience the new birth and it's like, oh, this was wonderful, and then they think it's over. Like, okay, I've done that now. Been there, done that. Rather than understanding and knowing that you've just begun. If you think that first part was good, wait till you get to this next part. Then you get to this next part. You know, we had riding the motorcycle is just a prayer chapel for me. I just love it no matter what. And I try not to look on the flatlands. I can look around, you know. And sometimes I notice things. Sometimes I don't see nothing, you know. It's just, I'm just going. Sometimes I got my eyes closed singing to the Lord. I open them often so I can see where I'm at. You know, I mean, sometimes it's just that, but I thoroughly enjoy it, you know. And as we go along, we see a lot of things that we've seen before. Sometimes I find houses that I hadn't seen before, and I've been back and forth the pier a gazillion times, you know. Or we go on a road, or we see things, you know, and it's like, okay. And then when we get done that night, now we're looking, we got the next day. Vicki gets the map out. So we're looking at the map and we know where we're supposed to be going. And we go and you know, when you got a trip where you're going to drive 700 miles to get to the site that you want to see, you've always got something to look forward to. And little glimpses along the way, you know, little things, oh, that's cool, but nothing so cool that I could even remember. And then you go on the real drive and, you know, it's like, okay, we got where we're going to go and we got that done and now we're going to go to another place and we're going to get something done. But along the way, there's something. Well, this is the thing we have to understand in our walk with God, that along the way, there's all kinds of great things. If we're looking for them, if we're expecting them, now the Lord told us this morning to begin to expect them popping up. In fact, on this trip, when we were driving across from Graybull to Cody, Wyoming, we saw something that we didn't know we saw until we stopped to see a lady for directions, and she told us how we needed to go back, and she said she hoped the wild horses were out. And Vicki said, I think we saw the wild horses. We saw horses. We didn't know they were wild horses. Were they better horses because they were wild horses? I don't know, but now we were looking for the wild horses. Even though we'd already seen the wild horses, now they're not just normal horses, they're the wild horses. And so sometimes in our walk with God, those are the things that we will catch a glimpse of and go, now we're looking for. You see, now you're looking for peaceful sleep. Because we see it happen, you see, we're discovering these things. We need to understand that this new life has begun, and it's a wonderful discovery. You know, like they take kids over to pier to the Discovery Center. And they go through the Discovery Center and they discover things they didn't know. And so when they tell people, when they tell the little kids, we're going to go to the Discovery Center, the kids, they don't necessarily totally understand what discovery is, but we're going someplace. And you're going to like this and you're going to have fun with this and this is going to be great. And so you got this. See, that's why we went on our motorcycle trip in the first place, because people said it's just great and it's just wonderful. And Vicki likes the mountains and I just want to drive the motorcycle and I just want to make her happy. We got all these good reasons for this. And so we're looking and expecting something. And on the way home, on the trip home, when we leave Graybull, because we're going to go up to Sheridan, we don't know that it's the most wonderful road of all. To me, it really was. And all of a sudden, we break into this canyon. It's like, whoa! He saved the best for last. I mean, this is just awesome. We're going, we John and Vicki, we got to tell them. We can go ride this one. This is not a, they'll love this, you know? It's so good that when she doesn't have the movie camera out, I make a U-turn and go back so we can start over with the movie camera. Now if we can just get it loaded up on the computer, we'll be in good shape. So, you see, This new life that has begun is an exciting life. Now this, you know, why in the world? 32 years you've been preaching and you're talking about being an exciting life because we need to be excited. Because we, you know, Paul said he prayed for them that they would be born again. Why not every day? Why not anticipation? Why not? I mean, if we understand that there is no God like Him, and if we understand that He's so wonderful, is it too much to expect Him to anticipate Him outdoing Himself? The other night, we sat down at the ball game. A young man sat down next to me. I sat there for quite a while trying to decide if I was right about who I thought that he was. And then I decided, well, if I'm wrong, big deal. He'll just correct me. But I thought he was the new deputy sheriff. And so I asked him about, because I thought that because his wife has advertised a Bible study for Sunday nights. And I thought, if I remember the names right, that wife is the English teacher at the school. And so I thought we might just have something in common. Oh, did we ever? He's excited about the Lord. She's excited about the Lord. They're excited about missions. They don't know. They wondered what in the world God had planned for Highmore. I looked at him. I said, look around. I told him if ever they didn't have time to get somewhere else, that they should come and take a walk on the wild side with us. Because, you see, he knows about relationship and he knows about the joy of the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Amen. And she knows about the joy of the Lord, so that's a young couple that's infiltrated. How exciting is that? You see, that might not be exciting to some people. Boy, it's exciting to me. Because where two or more are gathered together in his name, the Lord's amongst them. And whenever the Lord's amongst people, you know, I like to just pick up wherever it is. There's bound to be a sprinkle if they have a rain shower. A new life has begun. Today, Jesus said, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. A new life has begun. And tomorrow, a new life has begun. Old things pass away. All things become new. This one thing I do, Paul said, I forget what's behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I like prizes. Do you like prizes? You know, I really do. I really do. I have said that I may win the lottery. The way I'll win the lottery is that God will just blow the winning ticket into my front porch. I won't go buy the ticket, but I'll cash the ticket. If one blows into my front porch, I'm going to declare it a winner. Oh, Brother Day, you wouldn't want people to know you play the lottery. Oh, I'd love to have the whole wide world to know how I played this lottery. It blew under the door. You'd have people praying different after that. I want that too, Lord. You know, I mean, there's some things that people want too, you know. There's some things that people don't want, but what we should want is everything that God has for us. And it's easier to get where you're going if you know the way, and you might have to take the time to get to know the way. Last night we got done. We did a watering project for some folks because they were doing the watering. And so the instructions were do it Saturday night because we said we were leaving. Okay, just leave the stuff at our house. We said, okay. We got all done ready to leave the stuff at their house and realized that neither one of us knew where their house was. And so I was saying, well, call. I don't have my phone. Why don't you have your phone? I give her a hard time, but I never. Well, because you honked the horn and I was out front watering. I left my phone in the house. I said you'd have your phone in the house. Anyway, we're going. So we get home. She gets her phone, calls goes to, you know, messaging service, and so we don't have that. And so, you know, it's like we're thinking of all these other avenues of stuff. And I'm thinking, geez, how stupid is this? We don't even know where they live when we said we'd do it, you know. Now, Vicky got all bent out of shape about it. She went and put on her swimming trunk and sat in the spa. And I went looking again, thinking it ought to turn up where they live. And then, by the grace of God, it occurred to me that the Highmore phone book does not have mailing addresses. It has physical addresses, which, for the most part, I think is useless. But in this instance, I thought, as long as they haven't moved, it'll work. And I looked, and guess what? I found the address. Even though there wasn't a name on the house, there was a name on the two houses on either side of it, and I thought, this must be the house. So I stopped, and I read the mail on the dash of their vehicle, and sure enough, it was the right house, and I put it in, and I got home. She's still sitting in the hot tub. Now, I did what was necessary to get it there. She did what was necessary to not worry about it. Both are good. Both are good. See, we didn't know where to go until we found out we didn't know where to go. And when you find out that you don't know where to go, then it's important to find out how to get where you want to go. That's a whole other story about the trip. And there's a lot of things that we don't know until we find out that we don't know, but then we find out that it's possible, and we take those things that are possible, and we find out, now I can know, because we can know the truth, and the truth will make us free. Jesus said the formula is simple. If you abide in me, you are so wonderful. You are so wonderful. And if my word abides in you, then you will know the truth. Or he could say, you can know the truth. Or actually what he is saying is, you do know the truth. Because I am the truth and I live in you. Jesus said, I will come, the Father and I will both come and will live in you. Whoa. Is that good or what? Is that good? You see, how many times do we just read over that and go, yeah, well, like how's he going to live in me? But what if we say, he says he will, so he can. Amen. How does he speak to me? He just does. Why does he want to speak to me? He just does. Why does he even care about me? He just does. How much does he care about me? Find out. You see, that makes it exciting. You know, too often we come like a little child, and we say things like a little child, but when we grow up, we should say them differently. You know, a little child will come and said, you know, you probably don't want to play with me. Now, my kids, I trained them up when they would say those things. I said, you're probably right then. Say it different. Do you want to play, Dad? Well, that part hasn't changed much, but yes, I'll play with you. I mean, there was nothing I loved more than playing dolls with my girls. I really had to work at keeping my head in that, you know? Or when Joshua was the only child and Joshua wanted to play, Joshua wanted you to play with him, but he only wanted you to say what he wanted you to say. He'd say something and he'd say, now you say. And I'd say, why can't I say what I want to say? You say this. No, I'm going to say this. Well, my way too. But I played. There are things that we may not totally enjoy, but when we find out about them, it's good. You know, I'm glad that 20 years ago I played dolls. I'm glad that 30 years ago I played with little cars and oftentimes said exactly what he wanted me to say. And I'm believing that one of these days soon he'll say exactly what I want him to say. A new life's begun, folks. And we need to begin anew on a regular basis so that we maintain our zeal. Jesus said, zeal for your house has consumed me. We need to be overwhelmed by the presence of God. And we need to expect it to pop up. And when it does, we need to enter into it. We need to determine in our hearts that there's no line we won't cross when it comes to getting closer to God. We need to look for openings. We need to watch for the addresses to drive into. We need to step into truths and just allow them to have their way, and then we lie down in perfect peace and sleep. Entering into his rest. And I've always said that that's not just a sleeping rest, that's the rest of God. What's the rest? What's the rest? What's the rest? There's more. There is no God like you. Who does the things you do? There is no God like you. There is no God. He does things. Blessed are you, blessed am I, blessed are we, because it's been given to us to understand he does things. God does things. And he says to us, what would you like me to do? To the blind man, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Not necessarily. He said, what do you want me to do for you? What if he said, I'd really like people to fill my cup every day? Jesus said, okay. So then you got a blind man with a full cup every day. Jesus let him be specific. Freedom comes with knowing. And probably the greatest thing that we can acknowledge is that we don't know it all yet. But we can. You know, teachers can tell you that some students want to learn everything you got and will push you for more. And other students just don't care. Substituting, I'll say, hey, let's work on this. Why? I don't care. Other students will say, I don't understand this. And in some classes I say, I don't either. Let's find somebody that does. Find somebody that does. It's kind of sad if we, as a Christian, don't want all the fullness of God, all of the promises of God. You know, what would you think if a child in the wintertime decided to sleep in the garage because they didn't want to use up too much of the heat? You know. Father, freedom comes with knowing, and there's a lot we don't know, but we know more now than when we began. And as we prayed today, give us an awareness, give us an anticipation. Stir us, Lord, to use all of the tools that you've given us to get as far as we can get before we step into heaven and find out, my goodness, we were going pretty good, but we didn't know nothing compared to this. And as we go, Lord, let us have that attitude of wonder and that attitude of joy in you so that others will behold your glory, that others will long to know you as well. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.